This is the Jerry Callahan Show.
Well, let's do this. It is Monday, March 11th. That means we got about a little less than 8 months to go in the presidential election. It will be wild. We're anticipating just total insanity over the summer when they have conventions, when the pro-Hamas protesters disrupt everything and pay no price for any of it. But of the next 240 days, I'm not sure there'll be one quite as wild as Saturday. Saturday, March 9th. If you weren't paying attention, and I don't blame you, it was a Saturday, it was a weekend, you probably had things to do. This was the most incredible day. Joe Biden, we've chronicled, obviously, his gaffes, his corruption, his misstatements, his mistakes. We told you, we discussed at length the other day about Lincoln Riley holding up a pin for the deceased nursing student in Georgia who was murdered by an illegal alien. Biden was forced to address it by Marjorie Taylor Greene. It was the takeaway from that disastrous State of the Union speech, that angry rant we saw from Joe Biden on Thursday night. Well, it took him two days to apologize, not to Lincoln Riley, not to her parents, not to her friends, not to the country. He apologized to the killer, to the scum, to the maggot, to the lowlife that murdered her, that crushed her skull while she was out for a morning jog. He called her an illegal during the speech when he was rattled. By the way, Marjorie Taylor Greene saved him because just before he went on to address her, he was struggling. He was stumbling. He was losing it. But he picks up the pen, looks at it, and says, Lincoln Riley. It says on it, Lincoln Riley. But he got that wrong. He expressed remorse for the USC football coach. That was quite a moment. But he also said she was killed by an illegal. Then, by the way, he said thousands of people have been killed by illegals, which I'm not sure that's helping your case there, Joe. Anyway, we move forward. The next day, he was asked about it as he boarded Air Force One. He said, you know, technically, the guy shouldn't have been here. That wasn't good enough. Saturday, he sits down with Jonathan Capehart, one of his most devoted campaign aides, on MSNBC. He's asked about using the term illegal to describe a murderer, a murderer who should not have been here, who was here because Joe Biden let him come into the country. He was detained in two different states, in Texas, I believe, and in New York for stealing and let go. Shouldn't have been let in, should have been deported, was here, is a savage, is just the lowest form of life. Joe Biden let him in. Joe Biden's policies led to the death of Lincoln Riley, just as it led to the death of thousands and thousands of other Americans. As he admitted, thousands of people have been killed by illegals. He sits there, and we're looking at it right now, if you're watching along, smiling. This quick soundbite is so wrong on so many levels. We're going to get to it. But he's smiling when asked about mislabeling a stone-cold killer. Just whatever, a few days after the murder. Even by Joe Biden's standards, even by the standards of today's Democrat Party, this was mind-blowing. Think about it. He has this crazy kook left-wing base. He has the squad. He has Ayanna Pressley and AOC. He has Hakeem Jeffries. He has Jamal Bowman. These nuts who represent about 1% of the country. They insist that you don't mislabel illegal aliens. They want to call them newcomers. Newcomers in the midst of this crisis, as people see every day, criminals, gang members, MS-13, drug dealers, terrorists pouring across the border. This president, who pretended he cared about the border a couple days ago, decides he's going to side with the squad. He's going to side with the absolute kook, radical left wing of his party and says, maybe I should have used a different word to describe a man he led in the country who bashed the skull in of a 22-year-old nursing student. Maybe you've seen it already. You got to see it again. You got to hear it. This matters. Go ahead, play it.
But during your response to her heckling of you, you used the word illegal when talking about the man who allegedly killed Lake and Riley.
An undocumented person. And I shouldn't have used illegal. It's undocumented. And look, when I spoke about the difference between Trump and me, one of the things I talked about on the border was that the way he talks about vermin, the way he talks about these people polluting the blood. I talked about what I'm not going to do, what I won't do. I'm not going to treat any of these people with disrespect. Look, they built the country. The reason our economy is growing, we have to control the border and more orderly flow, but I don't share his view at all.
So you regret using that word?
Yes.
Oh, my God. That is it right there. With this campaign, Trump started in November. Biden's been running for re-election for 3 years. That right there. What is that? 30 seconds, Ironhead? 30-second soundbite should tell you all you need to know about the state of the Democrat Party. This guy likes to say, they're not your father's Republican Party. Well, I'll tell you what, that is not my father's Democrat Party. And I think this is going to make a difference. I mean, generally, these things come and go. It's just another cut, just another clip, just him pandering. But this is days after the murder. He doesn't acknowledge Lake and Riley. He doesn't offer an apology to her, to her family, to her parents, to her friends. He offers an apology to the piece of shit who killed her. This is the least presidential thing I've ever seen. And I'm counting everything from Clinton, you know, demanding BJs and all the things he did in the Oval Office. This is the least presidential moment in my lifetime. He regrets calling an illegal alien an illegal. He regrets using a word, when we're talking about stone cold murder. That's not all. A, he's smiling. B, he doesn't mention Lake and Riley. C, he regrets using a word. And D, he says illegal aliens built this country? What the F? What is this buffoon, this dementia-riddled buffoon talking about? Illegal aliens built this country? What? What is it? Where does that even come from? He says that's the difference between Trump and me. That is it right there. That is this moment in time encapsulated. The difference between Trump and me. This was obviously earlier in the day. I understand the drugs wore off, the meth, the Adderall, whatever he was taking Thursday night. So he's back to Dementia Joe. I understand that he's getting pressure from the far, far left, the Marxist wing of his party. But don't you have to draw a line somewhere? Don't you have to say, hey, I was talking about a murderer, a killer. And don't you have to express some remorse, some regret? Wouldn't this be a good time to say her parents' names and talk about how you feel so awful? I mean, obviously he will make it about Bo and say, yeah, Bo was killed by an illegal alien and how you feel. Couldn't do that. He's sitting with MSNBC, which represents, obviously, the 1%, the far, far left, and he just panders. That was during the day. Same day, Donald Trump is in Georgia. This was powerful. Initially, the family was invited to the State of the Union. The parents were invited by Georgia Rep. Mike Collins. They declined. They're grieving. I understand. They didn't want to be there. They weren't in the mood. They showed up at the Trump rally in Rome, Georgia. They showed up and met with Trump. Her father, by the way, wore a MAGA hat. So get ready for them to, right now, the mainstream media is scrutinizing the family's Facebook accounts and Twitter and Instagram, looking for something. They hate this family. They don't care about Lake and Riley. The mainstream media is invested in saving the corpse who currently occupies the White House. They know he can't win without them, and they will be there to do everything in their power to help him. In fact, today, MSNBC on the morning show was ripping Trump for criticizing, making fun of Biden's stutter. That's how low they'll sink. Stutter. There's no stutter. We know there's no stutter. We've been watching the guy for 50 years. But because he can't put a sentence together, they're going to run with that. Say he's got a stutter and Trump's picking on the disabled. This is a couple weeks after the special counsel, Robert Hur, said Joe Biden couldn't face charges because he's an elderly man with a bad memory who couldn't remember when his son died or when he served as vice president. For that reason, he can't face charges. There is no end to the effort they will go to save this man and to stop Donald Trump. That night, Trump took the stage. I normally don't watch these because I got to be honest, they're generally very redundant. He says he fires up the crowd. He's good on his feet. He's funny, but he says the same things. This was different. This was about Lake and Riley, who died as a direct result of Joe Biden's open border. Here's why it's such a big problem. It's so simple. Even the dumbest voter, the fringe voter, the low IQ voter can understand this. They understand that that scumbag would not have been in the country if not for Joe Biden and Alejandro Mayorkas and all the Democrats. They understand the Democrats voted against last week deporting illegal aliens who commit crimes. They want them here. They want them here so they can vote. Maybe not in 2024, but 2022, 2028, 2032. They want to change the electorate. That's the goal. But Trump met with the family. He didn't, I don't think, go overboard. He didn't step in it like he sometimes does. He handled it well. Let's listen. Do we have Trump talking about he had a great line talking about illegal aliens. He promised to call them illegal aliens. Now, that is simple to the point. There's not a decent American, not one, who has a problem calling illegal aliens illegal aliens. In fact, it's the official term, according to the U.S. government, according to the Immigration Department. That's what they call them, illegal aliens. And if you were talking about some person that came over the border and just said, I want to work on a farm, maybe you can have a case. You're talking about a murderer, a gang member. Yeah, you're talking about vermin. That's what you're talking about, Joe Biden. But let's listen to Trump's response. Again, same day, same story, same issue. What do we call him, Donald?
This is it starts off with a little refresher from Biden, and then it comes over the top with Trump here.
Oh, good.
You used the word illegal when talking about the man who allegedly killed Lake and Riley.
An undocumented person. And I shouldn't have used illegal. It's undocumented.
I say he was an illegal alien. He was an illegal immigrant. He was an illegal migrant. And he shouldn't have been in our country. And he never would have been under the Trump policy. We are profoundly honored to be joined today by the family and loved ones of Lakin and some of her great friends. I met them. They're so incredible. The whole group is incredible. To Lakin's parents, John and Allison, and her sister, Lauren, her roommate, Connolly, and to all of those who loved Lakin, the hearts of hundreds of thousands and indeed millions and millions of Americans and people worldwide, they're shattered alongside of your beautiful hearts.
Wow. See that? We got the plug right there. The Callahan podcast under Donald Trump on Newsmax as he was speaking, as he was hitting the highlight of the speech, which was long, but that was good. That was good, Pub. I want to, just in case you don't believe me, the Democrats, I tweeted all weekend, Democrats saying he shouldn't have used that word. I first heard this. I thought, well, obviously we heard it Thursday night, Friday morning. I thought Biden's not that dumb. I mean, he's dumb. He's not that dumb. He's not going to side with them. He's not going to apologize for using a word to describe, an accurate word to describe a murderer. I was wrong. He is. He's that beholden to the far left. And there's a whole bunch of them. Believe me, Hakeem Jeffries, the highest ranking Democrat in the House, all the squad, none of them were happy that that Joe Biden used that word. This is LaFonza Butler, an actual representative, an actual congressperson, talking to her friend Dana Bash on CNN, mentioning her objection to the president's language. Let's listen.
First of all, just the moment, but also on the term he used, illegal. There's been some backlash among some in his own party for using that term.
Look, it was clear being in the chamber last night that there were those in the extreme Republican Party who were trying to bait the president into responding to whatever heckle they were offering. It's unfortunate that the president used that language. I don't believe that is the language that he believes in his heart about immigrant people who find their way to this country to make a better life for themselves.
I'm telling you,
insane.
I don't know what it's like to be a Democrat now. You support that person? You support Ayanna Pressley, Liz Warren? You support Jamal Bowman, Cori Bush? These people are insane. All right, before we get to, we got so much more on this Monday. Man, couldn't miss this day, Ironhead. We got to get to Steffi Stephanopoulos berating a rape victim. Stephanopoulos, yes, that Stephanopoulos, the one who was in charge of the Bimbo Eruption Squad, whose job it was to destroy the rape victims of Bill Clinton. He's now attacking, calling Donald Trump a rapist and attacking a rape victim. We'll get to Letitia James, the corrupt AG in New York, who is hunting down firefighters who heckled her at a speech. It was great. When I saw it, I loved that she deserves this. But she's going to hunt them down and send them to education camps, re-education camps. God, we must stop Trump. He'll be a dictator. He'll end democracy. And we'll get to the Oscars and Al Pacino's Biden moment. I hate to do it because I love Pacino and I love, you know, everything, Scarface and Dog Day Afternoon and a Godfather. But man, at some point, you got to hand the job over to a younger man. We'll get to that and lots more on today's Callahan Show. But first,
excuse me.
Factor's delicious, easy-to-eat meals make eating better every day easy. Wherever tomorrow takes you, be ready with pre-prepared, chef-crafted, and dietitian-approved meals delivered right to your door. You'll have 35 different options a week to choose from keto, calorie smart, vegan and veggie, and more. And there's even more to enjoy with over 55 nutrition-packed add-ons that help make your weekly meal planning even more delicious. What are you waiting for? Get started today and have a feel-good week of meals ready to go. Fuel up fast with Factor's restaurant-quality two-minute meals that are ready to eat whenever you are. Factor meals have snacks, smoothies, and more. Discover a wide variety of easy options for the entire day, like breakfast, midday bites, and others. Factor is the perfect solution if you're looking for fast, upscale options done easily. We just finished our first Factor order, and we ordered more. They're that good. Head to factormeals.com/Jerry50. That's GERRY50. And use code Jerry50 to get 50% off. That's code Jerry50 at factormeals.com/Jerry50. We have to do this. I hope I have time. This is remarkable. If you haven't seen videos from Democrats from 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago, the guy we're going to play is the guy who constantly says the Republican Party is not your grandfather's Republican Party. Well, the Democrat Party is not the Joe Biden Democrat Party from 30 years ago. This is the guy, first of all, if you're watching along, has any adult male had more work done than Joe Biden?
No, you can see right by his eyes, too. It's just sucked back.
It's like they gave him a head transplant. Eyes, cheeks, chin, hair, everything. He is so vain. By the way, I always pick up on this. neither Donald Trump or Joe Biden will wear reading glasses. They're, you know, this guy's 81 and he's too vain to wear reading glasses. And they have these special teleprompters with huge letters so he can read them. But this was in response to George H.W. Bush's State of the Union. They march out a young senator, I guess he's not that young, he's 46 or so, to give the rebuttal. This is the same guy who 2 days ago apologized for using the word illegal alien. Watch this and tell me the Democrats have not lost their way. Go ahead.
To put it in very personal terms for a moment, Joe Biden, me, I would settle for a world in which I could worry about the same kinds of things that my parents worried about, in which I only had to worry about the grades my children got in school rather than the drugs they're being exposed to, in which I only had to worry about the prices my wife had to pay at the supermarket instead of fearing that she might get mugged by a junkie in the parking lot as she loads her groceries into the car, in which tonight I could call my mom just to wish her pleasant dreams, not for the purpose of making sure she's safe in her own home. That's the kind of world I want. That's the kind of world you deserve. In a nutshell, the president's plan doesn't include enough police officers to catch the violent thugs, not enough prosecutors to convict them, not enough judges to sentence them, and not enough prison cells to put them away for a long time. We disagree with the president's decision to cut back on our previous commitment to protect against drugs coming across the border, to cut the Customs Service, the Coast Guard, and the Border Patrol. We think we should do more to stem the flow of drugs across our borders, and we think we should go one step further. Let's go after the drug lords where they live with an international strike force. There must be no safe...
Better friend to the drug lords now than Joe Biden. They control our southern border. Did you catch that? He called them thugs. Thugs. That's worse than illegal aliens. Thugs. And he's lamenting the drugs coming into our country. Drug addicts. He called them junkies. Aren't they fentanyl-reliant Americans, Joe, these newcomers? No. And by the way, where is the stutter, Joe Scarborough? Where? Is Joe Biden the first person to develop a stutter in his 80s? Is that what we're talking about? No stutter. That guy is the one who has allowed in 9 million illegal aliens. That guy is directly responsible for the flood of fentanyl, for the death of 117,000 people from fentanyl poisoning last year. That guy just apologized to an illegal alien killer. Same guy. Oh, but this isn't your grandfather's Republican Party. God, what a disgrace. Got a disgrace. But get ready. This eight-month run here, Ironhead, is going to be so wild. It's just he's got dementia. Trump's a wild card every day. We are in for the wildest 8 months, and they're going to just lie. That's what his team at MSNBC and CNN and New York Times, they're going to say he has a stutter. They're going to say he's a well-meaning old man. They're going to say he's got compassion and decency. The man who never reaches out to Gold Star families, the man who didn't give a damn about the 13 servicemen he got killed in Afghanistan. That guy who took a year to go to East Palestine. That guy who doesn't care about angel moms, who doesn't meet with them, who doesn't know their names, who only was forced to mention Lincoln Riley by Marjorie Taylor Greene. What a friggin' disgrace. Speaking of disgraces, let's get to George Steffi Stephanopoulos. We'll get to Letitia James if we have time. Steffi Stephanopoulos, as you know, he's a Democrat operative with a press pass. He hosts whatever he hosts, ABC This Week. He's a former Clinton staffer. He's 4 feet tall, and he's 4 feet of absolute human fecal matter. That's what he is. He's an absolute piece of garbage. He has Nancy Mace on, and his line of attack is, you're supporting Trump. Trump's supporting her, even though she's pro-abortion and she's kind of a lunatic, but He's supporting her, endorsed her. She's endorsed him. And with all the questions he could ask, he decides to ask her, why is she supporting a rapist? Now, I could do an hour on this. Nobody believes E. Jean Carroll. Now, there's a divide, Democrats and Republicans. Republicans know Trump didn't rape E. Jean Carroll. They know it. Hell, the jury knew it. The jury ruled that he didn't rape her. The judge overruled them and said he did, because the judge, this Lewis Kaplan, is just another crazy, corrupt, left-wing, Trump-hating New York judge. Anyway, the jury didn't get to hear the evidence, any of it. They didn't even get to play the cut with Anderson Cooper when she says rape is sexy. They didn't get to hear about these seven other men she's accused of rape, including Les Moonves and her babysitter's boyfriend. She is fascinated. She is obsessed with rape. They didn't get to see all her tweets about rape. They didn't get to hear that her case was financed by Trump-hating billionaire Reid Hoffman and orchestrated by George Conway, that vile little troll. They didn't get to hear any of that. They didn't get to hear that she, her story mirrors a plot of Law and Order. This is the worst case. Forget rape. The worst case is not a criminal case, civil case in history. It's just totally 100% made up. Yeah, he raped her in a dressing room in an upscale department store. No witnesses, no contemporary witnesses, just her word, and she is a whack job. By the way, when it was over and she got $85 million, because he said he didn't do it. Now, I Googled this last night, and I read everything. I've never seen a case where someone was awarded damages because the person they accused claimed he was innocent. I mean, you say you're innocent. I didn't do it. That was determined to be defamation. That is insane. So if you say I didn't do it, like anybody, you know, whatever, the punter, Matt Arizia or Brett Kavanaugh, say I didn't do it, that is now defamation. So if Bill Clinton said he didn't rape Jennifer Flowers or force himself on Paula Jones, that's defamation. They should sue. I don't care if you hate Trump. I don't care if you love Biden. That is madness. Even more insane is this little piece of garbage, George Stephanopoulos, this man whose job it was, who starked in the big, you know, national political scene, was trying to destroy the legitimate victims of Bill Clinton, trying to destroy their characters. That guy is now sitting in the anchor seat, grilling Nancy Mace, who got raped 30 years ago and talks about it occasionally. Listen to this. I have to say, I give her credit. She pushed back on him. But I think she really wanted to say, Trump didn't do this. We all know he didn't do it. Everybody knows he didn't do it. Everybody who followed the case knows this is a political hit job. And I wanted her to bring up, you know, Bill Clinton. She didn't go there, but she did okay. Let's watch.
Yes, this morning. And you've endorsed Donald Trump for president. Judges and two separate juries have found him liable for rape and for defaming the victim of that rape. How do you square your endorsement of Donald Trump with the testimony we just saw?
Well, I will tell you, I was raped at the age of 16. And any rape victim will tell you, I've lived for 30 years with an incredible amount of shame over being raped. I didn't come forward because of that judgment and shame that I felt. And it's a shame that you will never feel, George, and I'm not going to sit here on your show and be asked a question meant to shame me about another potential rape victim. I'm not going to do that.
It's actually not about shaming you. It's a question about Donald
Trump.
No,
you are shaming me.
You've endorsed Donald Trump for president.
Right.
Donald Trump has been found liable for rape by a jury. Donald Trump has been found liable for defaming the victim of that rape by a jury. It's been affirmed by a judge.
It was not a criminal court case, number one. Number two, I live with shame. And you're asking me a question about my political choices, trying to shame me as a rape victim, and I find it disgusting. And quite frankly, E. Jean Carroll's comments, when she did get the judgment, joking about what she was going to buy, It doesn't, it makes it harder for women to come forward when they make a mockery out of rape, when they joke about it.
Doesn't it make it harder for women to come forward when they...
It makes it harder when other women joke about it, and she's joked about it. I find it offensive, and I also find it offensive that you're trying to shame me with this question.
I'm not trying to shame you.
You are.
Well, in fact,
I have dealt with this for 30 years. You know how hard it was to tell my story 5 years ago when they were doing a fetal heartbeat bill and there were no exceptions for rape, incest, rape or incest in there? I had to tell my story because no other woman was coming forward.
I'm just asking.
No rape victims were represented. And you're trying to shame me this morning.
I'm just asking.
And I find it offensive. And this is why women won't come forward.
Women won't come forward because they're defamed by those who perpetrate rape.
They are judged and they're shamed, and you're trying to shame me this morning.
I think
it's disgusting.
I'm not shaming you at all. I
told
you
my story. It took me 25 years to tell my story. I was judged for it. I still get judged for it today.
I'm asking you a very simple question.
She'd okay. I'll say that. She'd okay. She could have said, George, you know he didn't do it. If you follow the case, you know he didn't do it. You know she's a whack job. You know it was a plot by Trump-hating Democrats. This judge, Conway, Hoffman, all of them. Everybody knows he didn't do it. You want to talk about whatever, classified documents? Go ahead. Stormy Daniels, go ahead. E. Jean Carroll is a joke. We all know it. The fact that he has to pay her because he said he didn't do it. I'm telling you, it's remarkable what we're looking at, what we're hearing. This is part of what we're going to see and hear. Them pretending Trump raped this lunatic when they know he didn't. We got to get to the Oscars and maybe we'll get to the Mac Jones trade. The Patriots screwed up big time with their first round pick from 3 years ago. He's gone. They got a six rounder. Somehow I think Mac Jones will be okay. He'll be okay. But and the Patriots obviously will take a QB with the third pick in the draft. But first,
excuse me.
History, economics, the great works of literature, the meaning of the U.S. Constitution. Did you study these things in school? Maybe not. And if you did, like me, you probably didn't pay attention and you wish you did. That's why I'm so excited that Hillsdale College is offering more than 40 free online courses in the most important and enduring subject. You can learn about the works of C.S. Lewis, the stories in the Book of Genesis, the meaning of the U.S. Constitution, the rise and fall of the Roman Republic, or the history of the ancient Christian church with Hillsdale College's online courses, all available for free. You heard me right. That's free. I personally recommend you sign up for Constitution 101, the meaning and history of the U.S. Constitution. In this 12-lecture course, you'll explore the design and purpose of the Constitution, the challenges it faced during the Civil War, and how it has been undermined for more than a century by progressivism and liberalism. Wow, talk about a relevant course. Go right now to hillsdale.edu/Jerry to enroll. There's no cost and it's easy to get started. That's hillsdale.edu/Jerry to register. This is from, before we get to the Oscars and, you know, the important stuff. This is from Byron York, New York, D.C. reporter, well-known guy, pretty straightforward. He tweeted after the Stephanopoulos, after that disgrace. By the way, if he were attacking a Democrat president and a Democrat congressman, he'd be fired. That's fireable. Attacking a rape victim when you yourself made your bones trying to defame and destroy rape victims, that's fireable. That's disgusting. And he won't because he's a useful idiot. They need him. But Byron York writes, the dishonesty of Stephanopoulos' interview is striking. He says 10 times that Trump was found liable for rape. He says the jury found Trump liable for rape. In fact, the jury specifically found Trump not liable for rape. So he's just dead wrong. Not like it's an important story. It's just the president, former president, perhaps future president, being falsely accused of rape by an anchor on a news show. It found him liable for sexual abuse, which, again, is just made up. It's 33 years ago. She couldn't remember the year. The year. This is as absurd as the crisis actors who accused Brett Kavanaugh. This is what they do. This changes everything. I used to believe all women. I used to think you wouldn't lie about something like this. These are liars. She's a liar. She got rich, or she thinks she got rich, and she's going to spend the money shopping with Rachel Maddow. She's giddy. The judge later tried to spin the decision, citing laws that did not apply, to argue that the jury found Trump liable. In the absence of an actual jury finding, the judge guessed that the jury's decision implies rape. What the hell? Stephanopoulos, in spite of the jury's finding, on 10 occasions said Trump had been found legally liable for rape. Why not just be accurate and say he was found liable for sexual abuse? Does anyone think that sounds good? Did ABC think it would be letting Trump off easy by accurately citing the jury's verdict? York writes, I've written several times that I think the case should never have been brought, but it is in fact that Trump was found liable for sexual abuse. It's also a fact he was found not liable for rape. And the anchor, the star of ABC, says it 10 times. Nancy Grace should have pushed back on that. She should know, A, he wasn't found liable for rape. B, he didn't rape her. I mean, if you follow the case at all, and it's hard to do, trust me, Google it. All you get is the New York Times and Politico and all these stories celebrating it because evil orange man got railroaded. But anyway, well, we're going to stick on the theme of dementia-riddled Americans. I think it's time we had a hard conversation. At some point, I don't know, past 80, you got to step aside. There's things you can do, things you can't do. If you're a healthy 83, 81, 82, 83, 84-year-old, live your life, enjoy your life, eat your ice cream, take walks, spend time with the grandkids, or in Pacino and De Niro's case, spend time with your new babies.
I was going to say they're brand new kids.
I got to say, I was watching some of the Oscars going back and forth with the news and golf, which I missed live. And I was watching the replay. It was boring. And it was, there was entertaining moments. The John Cena thing was bizarre when he came out naked. Jimmy Kimmel was awful, as you'd expect. He waited till the end to go after Trump. We can get to that. But it was good to see Oppenheimer win everything. It's a good movie. Not the greatest movie ever, but I've been conditioned to expect the worst movie to win because Moonlight, Shape of Water, Everything Everywhere All at Once are awful movies. Those are 0 out of 10. Absolutely awful, awful movies. And they won. So I think they're going to pick the worst movie there is. I don't even know what. They didn't. They picked a good movie. Oppenheimer won a bunch of things, including actor Cillian Murphy, who Jimmy Kimmel called Cillian. And Ryan Gosling did a song and a dance, and my wife loved it. And they had some fun. It was fine. It wasn't that political. He had one asshole saying he refuted his Jewishness, who won for a movie that had no Jewish people in it. That guy. But beyond that, and they wore red ribbons in support of Hamas, which was a little disappointing. But Pacino was assigned the big moment of the night by himself to go out there and award the best picture. Again, he's almost 84. He's a legend. We all love his career. We all know he's amazing. We all love Godfather and you name it. He's made some great movies, but he's almost 84. This is not a job on live TV for an 84-year-old. So he goes out there. He's supposed to list all 10 of the nominated movies. He's supposed to say some jokes. He's supposed to have a plan. He didn't. This is like Joe Biden going off teleprompter. That's what it is. He's older than Biden. You know, he's got hair and he's got a presence. But this was uncomfortable. This was sad. Let's watch. This is, by the way, at 10:30, the pinnacle of this, whatever, 3.5-hour production. Bring out this legend. By the way, I was glad that Killers of the Flower Moon won 0. De Niro was pissed. Scorsese was pissed. They were sitting there all grumpy and they, like him, they're fossils. They're just old and angry and cranky, and they weren't happy. But they made a 3.5-hour movie. Most people don't have the time, don't want to spend 3.5 hours watching a movie, so they probably didn't see it. And they don't care. So too bad for you guys. Here's Pacino awarding the best picture to Oppenheimer. Go ahead.
And I have to go to the envelope for that. And I will. Here it comes. And Maria, I see Oppenheimer. Yes. Yes. Emma Thomas.
He was, and after this, I believe it was after this, Jimmy Kimmel says, we have some extra time because Pacino took like 30 seconds, just shuffled in there, struggled to open the envelope. I mean, you couldn't have, I don't know, DiCaprio do that. You couldn't have, you know, Matt Damon do that. You have to have an 80, almost 84-year-old do that. It's not fair. He struggled, and it's no surprise he struggled, but Kimmel couldn't help himself. He is obsessed with Trump. He's a hateful little man. He's not funny. By the way, if you saw his monologue, it was not funny. There were funny speeches and funny moments. He wasn't one of them. He was terrible, as usual. But before it's over, he sees Trump post on Truth Social, and he's got this audience of whatever it is, 20 million, decides to elevate Trump and read Trump's post. Normally, that makes you cringe a little bit because Trump sometimes posts just insane stuff. But this was a pretty good Trump post, and this idiot reads it to the world. Of course, he gets the biggest ovation of the night because they all hate Trump, but let's listen.
Everyone. I was just, this doing this show is not about me, and I appreciate you having me. It's really about you and Emma and all these great actors and actresses and filmmakers. But I was told we have like an extra minute, and I'm really proud of something. I was wondering if I could share it with you. I just got a review, and has there ever been a worse host than Jimmy Kimmel at the Oscars? His opening was that of a less than average person trying too hard to be something which he is not and never can be. Get rid of Kimmel and perhaps replace him with another washed up but cheap ABC talent, George Sloppenopoulos. He would make everybody on stage look bigger, stronger, and more glamorous. Blah, blah, blah. Make America great again.
That's good. That's the funniest line of the night. It's from Trump.
Yeah.
But he was right. Kimmel was awful. And Stephanopoulos, you know, he got a good shot in on Stephanopoulos there too. So that was good. The show was, I guess, okay. I don't know. It was okay. By the way, some people are not going to be very happy. Did you notice that almost all the awards, you know what they went to? Did you notice, Ironhead?
A lot of whites.
A lot of white people. A lot of colonizers got awards. And here it is. Best picture, all white cast, Oppenheimer. Best supporting actor, white guy. Best actor, white guy. Best actress, white chick. Best director, white guy. Best director short film, white guy. Best song, white chick.
I'm kind of stunned Idris Elba didn't play Oppenheimer, though.
Yeah, that's true. Ali, what his name is, Ali, the guy from Moonlight and Green Book. He should have played the lead, but someone's going to have to pay for that. A lot of white guys winning last night and being featured, by the way, like Ryan Gosling and John Cena. All right, we got to move. Bad look for the New England Patriots. Their first round pick 3 years ago, the 15th pick of the draft. Here's the problem. Mac Jones critics, and I've seen him, and he was terrible last year. And it's all mental. He's got the physical tools. We know it. So someone's going to straighten him out and he'll be fine. It's not like he doesn't have the arm. He has the arm. He has the pedigree. You know, won a national title in Alabama. They screwed him up. You know, the various offensive coordinators, Matt Patricia, Bill O'Brien, Joe Judge, quarterback coach. It's on them. And I think someday he'll be okay, because it's not like whatever, he's hurt. It's not like he's got a noodle arm. He's just a head case. And that's on the coaches. He goes to Jacksonville to back up Trevor Lawrence. By the way, he has better stats than Trevor Lawrence.
I was going to say, I bet he ends up taking his job.
And if the new guy, the third pick in the draft, who will start day one, whoever it is, if he doesn't perform, Mac Jones will play, because even Lawrence, who's pretty durable, they all get hurt. Backups play. If he plays, he's on a better team. He could come back to haunt them, and all they get is a six-round pick. That's what you use on punters, gunners. You know, that's not much of a return for a former 15th pick in the draft. So good luck to Mac Jones, and let the rebuilding era begin with, I don't know, you name it. Who's Drake? What's his name from North Carolina? You know, they'll Michael Penix, you know, you name it. There'll be a QB. It's not going to be Caleb Williams. Be a new QB. It'll be fun. But what a disaster. Drafting a QB, starting him day one, makes the Pro Bowl, and then just falls off a cliff. Bad look for your New England Patriots. But we got to leave it there for today. Maybe we'll get to,
you know what,
Letitia.
You know what I was thinking about yesterday, though, is that poor guy who was beat to death at Gillette. He got buried in Mac Jones jersey. So what are they going to do?
I saw them at the airport, Mac Jones jerseys. I'm like, were they $12? I don't know. Maybe if you're in Jacksonville, you buy one. But he's a backup now.
Yeah.
And he'll maybe he'll be a backup for 10 years and make $50 million. But he needed to get out. He got out. And now I'm waiting for the smear campaign. I'm waiting for everyone to report that he was a bad guy, a selfish guy. Didn't put the work in, but we have not seen that yet. I'm telling you, it's going to be wild to see how the new guy, the rookie, plays in his, because he's going to start day one. There's no way anybody else is going to take that job. But we will leave it there for today. Maybe we'll get to Letitia once she hunts down those firefighters for booing her. That's the state we're in right now. You boo a corrupt attorney general, chant Trump, and they will hunt you down and make you go to sensitivity training. These are union firefighters, and they are in trouble for booing that fraud.
And make sure you go to CallahanCoffee.com and pick yourself up.
CallahanCoffee.com. Get some Callahan coffee. Ironhead lives on it.
I do.
And I do too. But you Ironheads, you actually buy it? I haven't given you any free ones lately.
I make cold brew and hot. I have a gallon in the fridge at all times, and I make hot coffee. I'm a mess.
Yes, you're so happy. You got your coffee. That's all that matters. But anyway, we'll leave it there for today. I'm Jerry Callahan. This is the Callahan Show, and we will try to do it again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. You can help by clicking the sponsor links in the show notes and take advantage of some great discounts available only to our listeners.